Good evening. Let's start with number 20 tonight. If you don't mind standing, and we'll stand as we sing this first hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. We'll just sing all the verses, and then we'll take some requests. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, His praise forth tell. Come ye before Him and rejoice. The Lord ye know is God indeed. Without our aid He did us make. We are His flock, He doth us feed. And for His sheep He doth us take. Oh, enter then His gates with praise. Approach with joy His courts unto. Praise Lord and bless His name always. For it is seemly so to do. For why the Lord our God is good, His mercy is forever sure. His truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure. To Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the God whom heaven and earth adore, from earth and from the angel host, be praise and glory evermore. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's take some requests. Which songs would you like to sing? 381. All right. All right, let's sing the first and last verse, 381.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. My mouth and let it bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with Thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
417, okay. All right, let's sing the first and last again, 417.
No Islander stands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meet him at the throne of mercy. He is waiting for you there. No one understands like Jesus. When the days are dark and grim, no one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on him. No one understands like Jesus. When you falter on the way, though you fail him, sadly fail him, he will pardon you. When the days are dark and grim, no one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on him.
554. Let's do the first and third, first and last verse, 554.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. By and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, all glory. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
And since we're right there, let's stand and do 555. We'll do the first and last verse of 555. Let's stand as we sing this last song.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and us around the throne, and us around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to see you here. Hope you're having a good day and have a good holiday weekend ahead. I guess tomorrow is a holiday for most of us. So I hope that's a fruitful, profitable, restful day for you. But we have this opportunity for you to share things that may be on your heart tonight. If there is anybody that has something, praise, prayer request, testimony. All right. Well, let's pray then. We will look at God's Word together. Father, we thank you for the time tonight to sing. What a joy it is to have a hymnal, to have these songs in front of us that we can sing together. And just thank you for the joy of doing that with your people and just how those lyrics, those songs express what's in our hearts as we march upward to Zion, as we long for the day when we are together in your presence, worshiping you perfectly. So that's where we're going. That's what this is all about, is moving ever closer to that. So we thank you for that. Thank you for the encouragement that we have from each other, and just for the blessing of being a part of a church family, a church body, people of like precious faith that encourage us and cheer us on, comfort us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the good day we've had. And thank you for just the steady stream of your blessings to us, Lord. So many spiritual blessings, physical blessings. And so we just give you praise and thanks. And just pray for a special blessing on those, especially who maybe have the day off tomorrow, and their families as they spend time together. Just make it a blessed day. And just thank you for this new school year and all the things that have started anew. Just pray special blessing on those things, and especially on the ministries that are starting this fall. I just pray for your blessing on that, the things that the men have going, and the ladies' studies, and these efforts to get back on the campuses and do the Bible clubs. We just pray for your blessing on that, the Awana ministry, and just thank you for the faithful, servant-hearted people in this church that continue to participate in the work that you've given us here. Thank you for the time tonight to study your word. I pray you bless this new series as we begin. And just cause it to be edifying and helpful, encouraging to each of us. And just bless our fellowship tonight as well, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm excited about starting kind of a new series tonight. I want to maybe invite you to go ahead and turn, if you want to turn in your Bible, to Psalm 120. That's kind of where we're going to start here in a little bit. But we spent several weeks talking thematically about the doctrine of salvation, and it's always good to do that, to do a topical or thematic study. But really the staple of our diet around here generally is just preaching through books, chapters of the Bible. And so I kind of always want to get back to that whenever we stray from that sort of model. But I also wanted to do something from the Old Testament, since we're in the New Testament on Sunday morning. So what we're going to be doing for the next, 15, 16 weeks is going through a study of the Songs of Ascent. This is really a hymnal within the hymnal, a subset of Psalms, Psalm 120 through 134, that all bear the title, A Song of Ascent. And you've noticed that as you've read your Bible, and maybe you've wondered, what does that mean? What's special about this particular set of Psalms? And so we're going to be studying these together. And I'm drawn to these really kind of almost as a follow-up to our series, Christian, This Is Your Life. In that survey of the doctrine of salvation, we looked at the components of salvation common to all believers. The Songs of Ascent do a very similar thing from the perspective of an Old Testament believer. One point of continuity between Old Testament saints and New Testament saints is that as believers, we belong to a community, right? We belong to a group. We are the people of God. We are the household of God, the body of Christ. And so as believers, we do not fly solo. We are not independent out here on our own, doing our own thing, trying to make a go of it the best we can. We have not only a new identity individually as new creatures in Christ, but we also have a new identity corporately as fellow members of the household of God and people who are in fellowship with one another. And that's a very profound thing, and that's a very precious thing to every true believer. We belong to God, and by virtue of that, we belong to each other. These psalms, these songs of ascent, I believe, celebrate that reality. They celebrate, they accentuate the corporate identity and unity of God's people. Now, these were songs that Old Testament believers sang together. These were songs that gave definition to not just their personal faith, but to their common faith. And because of that, I think they provide an important collection, an important collection of songs for us, for all believers of all time. And what I like about them is that they combine, as Eugene Peterson says, all the cheerfulness of a travel song with the practicality of a guidebook and map. And that's kind of the way I want us to approach it. Songs that cheer and encourage us on our journey, but also songs that provide a map, a guidebook for our journey. Now, typically, whenever you think about the book of Psalms, I think, you know, big, right? Big book, Psalms, 150 Psalms, and we tend to sort of think of it as a fairly random collection. What was the rhyme or reason behind, you know, putting this together? Some are written by David, some by others. There just seems to be, you know, the first one seems to be in an appropriate place, and maybe the second one in its emphasis, and maybe the last one is a good way to end, but what's the deal for the rest of it? No real apparent reason for the way it's arranged. They're all different kinds of psalms. There are psalms of lament, confession, praise, thanksgiving. There are enthronement psalms, royal psalms. And we read them, and some of them we can identify with and relate to a little more easily than others, but they're all good. They're all obviously inspired scripture, but there doesn't seem to be any particular rhyme or reason to the way they're put together. We know that very early on, the Psalms were organized into five books, and you may even see that in your translation. Book 1, Book 2, Book 3, and so on. Book 1 is chapters 1 through 41. Book 2 is chapters 42 to 72. Book 3 is chapters 73 to 89. Book 4, chapters 90 to 106. And Book 5, chapters 107 to 150. And, you know, usually that's about all the help you're going to get in terms of an outline or structure for the book of Psalms. And yet, no one has really argued with that arrangement for three reasons. One, nobody's come up with a better idea. Two, Jewish tradition has always sort of appealed to the number five because that corresponds to the Torah, right? The Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. And in fact, you know, there's all kinds of things that they say are sort of comparisons, you know, between Genesis and the first book and Exodus and the second book, and you can read all kinds of things about that. but really, probably the main reason is because each of those five books or each of those five sections ends, they all end in a very similar way with a very similar doxology, which seems to punctuate each one. For example, the first book ends in 41:13, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." The second book ends in 72:18-19, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." The third book ends chapter 89, verse 52, "Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen." And the fourth one, 106:48, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen, praise the Lord." And then, of course, the final one, book 5, ends with Psalm 150, where really the whole thing is praise the Lord, right? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we have this massive book of 150 psalms, and that's really about all the structure that there is to it. Discernible. Okay. But beyond that basic arrangement, there are other smaller groupings as well. Hymnals within the hymnal. For example, you have the Egyptian Hallel, Psalms 113 through 118. And those were read during Passover and other holy days. Okay. The Egyptian Hallel. There's also the final Hallel, Psalms 145 through 150. Hallel, by the way, is just the Hebrew word for praise. And those final ones wrap up the Psalter with the final call to praise the Lord. But this section that we're going to deal with from Psalms 120 through 136 is known as the Great Hallel. The Great Hallel. And within that are these 15 Psalms, chapter 120 through 134, which bear the inscription, "A Song of Ascents." And I want us to study these. I want us to look at them one by one over the next few weeks and just see what God will teach us as we think about not just our corporate worship, but our common life together. Now, the first question comes, what does that title mean? What does that superscription mean, that a song of ascents? And what does it say about how these psalms were used? The Hebrew title could be translated "a song of degrees" or "a song of ascents," or literally it's "a song of the goings up." So what in the world is that? What is that talking about? There are three views on what that might mean and how they were used. One is that these were psalms which the exiles sang when they returned from Babylon, as they made their journey back to their homeland, back to Jerusalem. These were the songs that they sang. A second view sees these as ascending thematically. In other words, songs of ascents is emphasizing their thematic connection, that a word or phrase in one song is taken up and repeated and expanded in the next psalm, and so it's building structurally and ascending in a sort of step-by-step progression, similar to the way we ascend in our singing when we make a key change. The truth is there's really little evidence to support either of those two views. So the third is the most probable and the most popular view, and that is that these psalms were sung by the Jews as they made their annual pilgrimage up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple on holy days. Now, that's the most common understanding. And actually, one twist on that, kind of a fourth view, some say there were 15 steps in the temple compound from the outer court to the inner court, 15 steps, and that one of these psalms was sung or chanted on each of those steps as they ascended and made their way up into the inner court of the temple to worship. But the most common view is that these songs of ascent were arranged in this fashion to be sung by the children of Israel on those occasions when they traveled up to Jerusalem for their special feast days. And you may remember back in the Old Testament, that was required, right? Three times a year. The males, at least, 12 and up, 13 and up, were required to come to the temple for the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And so these psalms were their pilgrimage psalms. These were the songs they would sing or recite or maybe chant as they traveled along in families and in caravans. And that's kind of a neat thing to think about. I mean, you've traveled, you kind of know how it works when you get out there past the city limits and there are no more signs. You can't play the ABC game because there ain't no A's and B's and C's anywhere. But what are you going to do? And, you know, for a while at least, until your kids get too cool to do it, you can sing. And you probably have some favorite travel songs, you know, as you grew up, little songs, funny songs maybe, or hymns, or whatever you may have done that you sang together as you traveled. Well, that's kind of how these worked. So this set of psalms became a hymnal within a hymnal. This became the road trip songbook. And as pilgrim families made the journey to the holy city for festive worship at the temple, they would chant these psalms and sing them together as encouragement along the way. And many times the journey would be arduous, it would be difficult. So these would be very refreshing and encouraging. And once they arrived in Jerusalem, maybe they would sing these songs again as they drew near to worship, reenacting their journey and affirming God's blessing along the way. We actually have biblical proof that this was the custom because Isaiah 30, verse 29, cites this practice as an example of the kind of joy that will be restored when the Lord returns. It says there, "You will have songs as in the night when you keep the festival, and gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel." So clearly the people were accustomed to doing that, to singing, to making merry, even with musical instruments, as they made their way up to Mount Zion. So the title is very appropriate. These psalms were sung as worshipers from all over Judea and beyond traveled up to Jerusalem to join in the special occasions of worship. One analogy for this, I thought about for us, we have a very similar thing in our churches, in our Christian community. I mean, we have a hymnal. And within that hymnal, we have sections, right? We have arrangements, collections. In fact, we have special days as well, right? We have Christmas, we have Easter, we have Thanksgiving. And for each of those special seasons, we have special songs. And they are our favorites. They are very familiar to us. We can sing many of them from memory. They're songs that have withstood the test of time. They're enduring. They're the classics. We all know them. We all love them. We all love to sing them. We can't wait till that time of year again to sing them all over again. And that's sort of the way to think of these songs of ascent. They were, in a sense, Israel's greatest hits. These were the songs that celebrated their identity and their unity as the people of God. And, you know, I think that's just a good principle, a good reminder to us. We need that, don't we? We need songs. We need songs. Songs are a vital part of our life together, of our common faith, to be able to sing about that, to have songs that unite us, right? That excite us. I mean, I can't imagine a Christianity without music, can you? Without songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That is a huge part of our life, our worship. And when we get together, we want to sing those. We want to sing the greatest hits of all time. We want to sing the songs that made the church famous. We want to focus on those songs that transcend our culture or our time and that really unite and link us with the people of God corporate, right? Past, present, and future. And so that's kind of what we do with the hymnal and with the songs that we sing. Nothing wrong with singing new songs, but we want to sing the favorites. When we come on Sunday night and you start asking for, you know, favorites, well, it's typically the oldies and the goldies that you select, and that's natural. We want to sing those songs that celebrate our identity, our unity as the people of God, and link us to our past and excite us about our future and encourage us through our present. And I think that's what these psalms were all about. So that's kind of how we'll approach this series. I want you to see and savor our common life together as it's expressed in these psalms. I believe that these 15 together kind of provide a composite picture of the life of faith or of our spiritual life as believers, not just Old Testament believers, but for us as well. I also want to emphasize what these songs emphasize, and that is that we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims. These were pilgrimage songs, and that is what we are. We are pilgrims. We are on a journey. I know we don't use that terminology maybe very much anymore, but that is what we are as Christians. We are sojourners. We are on the move. We are going somewhere. We are strangers and aliens here, and that's why we never really feel at home here, nor should we. Like it says in Hebrews 13:14, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And that's a good mindset. We need that mentality. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But if that's true, how appropriate it is then to have songs to sing as we travel on this journey. Another angle on that, these are songs, pilgrimage songs, but they're also songs of ascent. They're songs of ascent. Just think about that picture, right? What is that saying? They're reminding us that we are ascending. We're going up. We're climbing. No matter where they lived or came from, Jewish worshipers all went up to Jerusalem. 27 was the highest point, 2,700 feet above sea level. And so likewise, we too as believers are constantly moving, but we're moving up. You know, we're ascending. We begin as sinners who are far away from God, alienated and hostile toward Him. But by His grace, in our distress, we cry out to Him. And we come to Him for salvation, and He delivers us from where we are, and then takes us, draws us nearer and nearer and nearer to Him as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So that's a healthy emphasis too. We need songs that sing about our advance, our ascent, our progress. These are also songs of degrees. It's another way it's kind of translated sometimes. Songs of degrees, reminding us that our progress is incremental, isn't it? It's step by step. As you journey, as you walk, how do you do that? One step at a time. And so too, we move, we advance, we ascend, but how? By degrees, little by little, being renewed day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept. transformed into Christ's image from glory to glory, with each day's journey bringing us closer to home. So our whole spiritual life is a life of movement, progress, a pilgrim's progress, ever moving away from our sin and our attachment to the things of this world that are sinful, ever moving toward God, toward Christ likeness, toward the worship of God, in fact, toward the corporate worship of God with His people. So, really, we could say our previous series isn't over. Christian, this is your life. Now we're going to look at part two, right? Part one was our common salvation. Now that you understand that, let's talk about our common life together. And this is it. These 15 songs, I think, cover all of the key components of it. It's really a great paradigm, I think, for the Christian life that unfolds here. And that's what we're going to cover. In fact, let me just give you a quick overview, just so you know where we're going with all this. All right. If you're in Psalm 120, we're going to be looking 120 through 134. And here's kind of the emphasis that I think each of these songs makes. The focus collectively is our life together. Okay? And what is our life together? Well, first of all, it is a life of repentance. And in 120, you kind of see a picture of what that really looks like. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, O deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech. I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So the starting point, okay, as we begin to make our pilgrimage, the starting point is a dissatisfaction with where we are, right? I don't want to be here. I want to be there. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what repentance is. It's, I want to leave this and go there. You know, and so you begin to be dissatisfied with your own sin and the sin of the people around you. And step one is you move away from that. And obviously to go to Jerusalem to worship, they had to leave home. So you have a picture there, first of all, of repentance. Secondly, our life together is a life of faith. 121 emphasizes that, the Lord being the keeper of Israel. I'll lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And it just talks about how He never sleeps or slumbers. He's our keeper. He's our shade and so on. So faith, we're trusting in God. He's my help. He's the one who provides, protects me. My whole life is a life of dependence upon Him, confidence in His faithfulness as my helper and my keeper. Thirdly, our life together is a life of worship. And Psalm 122 emphasizes that. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I want to go and be together with God's people and worship corporately with the people of God. And so it talks about that joy, that anticipation. So it's a life of worship. Our whole life is worship punctuated by corporate gatherings with God's people at designated times and places to give thanks to the Lord and hear His word. Fourthly, our life together is a life of prayer. Psalm 123 emphasizes that. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. In fact, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he is gracious to us. There's a picture there of dependence, right? The servant is dependent. His master must provide what he needs. We look to the hand of the Lord to meet our needs. And so the whole life that we have together is a life of prayer. As we pray, that's our posture. Lord, we look up to you. And our petition is, Lord, be gracious to us. It's a life, fifthly, of testifying. Testifying. Chapter 124. That's what this psalm is doing. It's testifying. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Right? This is what they were to say publicly, audibly. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. The raging waters would have swept over our soul. But they didn't, because the Lord was on our side. So our life together is a life of testifying to the Lord's protection, right? Blessing. Blessed be the Lord, verse 6, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. So that's an aspect of our common life together. We all have the privilege of telling our story, right? Let Fellowship Bible Church now say, the Lord had not been on our side, we wouldn't have made it. We all have the privilege of telling our part of that story and how the Lord has made all the difference in our lives and deserves all the credit. In 125, you have the emphasis on the fact that our life together is a life of security. Security. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. That's stability, see? Security. And that's true of all those who trust in the Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. So you have the sense of security in that. Those who trust in the Lord abide forever because the Lord protects his people. He limits evil and he doesn't treat all people alike. He does good to those who are good, and he returns to the wicked wickedness. So, protection, security. Then in 126, a life of joy is the emphasis, a life of joy. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. So our common life together is a life of joy, confessing, humble, starving, believing, forgiven sinners experience joy because God is gracious and delights to forgive our sin and restore our fortunes. In 127, we're going to learn that our common life together is a life of dependence. It's a life of dependence. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless someone mans the sprinklers, the water will water in vain out there. Believe me, the kids in the neighborhood, they come and they play in the water. And so they move the sprinklers and next thing you know, they're watering the asphalt. It's not helping here. So we depend on the Lord, don't we? It is vain for you. I love that verse, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early. I say that every morning as I arise at 9, 10 o'clock. Well, you know, it's vain to get up any earlier than that. It's also vain to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, etc., for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. The point there is just our dependence upon the Lord. You know, we, sort of the saying, we do everything as if it all depends on us, and then we pray because, as if it all depends on him. And that's sort of the picture here. We labor, we watch, but we depend on the Lord ultimately for his blessing and his protection. 128 pictures a life of blessing. Our common life together is a life of blessing. Those who fear the Lord are blessed. Those who walk in his ways, right? And so you have the whole picture there, the fruitful vine, children like olive plants growing around your table. It's just a picture of the blessing of God upon his people. And so our life together is a life of blessing. Those who fear him, the Lord richly blesses with satisfying work, a happy home, a fulfilling future. All that is there. Then in 129, we'll see that our common life together is also a life of persecution. It is a life of persecution. Many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. Let Israel now say, many times they have persecuted me from my youth up, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They lengthened their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut into the cords of the wicked. So all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But we deal with that persecution by praying and by persevering, knowing that the Lord is righteous. In chapter 130, our common life together is a life of hope. It's a life of hope. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. There's hope in the Lord because he is attentive to us, and he is gracious, and he is forgiving. And so we wait, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So we hope, and we do that together, and we remind each other to do that, and we encourage each other in that. We should always be ready to give an account for the hope that is in us, which is the hope of God's care and God's forgiveness and God's word and God's redemption. 131, the emphasis is on this life of childlikeness, humility, childlike trust in the Lord. We know in the New Testament, Jesus said, unless you become like children. Well, here's a picture of that. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. There's a sense of humility there, of childlikeness, of just trusting, being still and quieted and composed and not hurried or worried about anything, but just perfectly content and satisfied and cared for. And that's the picture for us. You know, that's how we're to live, like a weaned child resting against his mother. And then you have in 132, this common life is a life of waiting. Remember, O Lord, on David's behalf, all his affliction, how he swore to the Lord, how he vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. And then you have this picture, really, of God's covenant promise with David and David's sort of anticipation and waiting and longing for the fulfillment of all of that. So that's a picture of waiting. All believers are waiters, right? We live between promises made and promises fulfilled. And while we wait for our King and His kingdom, we proclaim that King and that kingdom, and we pray for it to come. In 133, then, you have a life of community, a life of not just unity, but community, right? Beloved, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. So just the picture there of the blessing that comes with being in unity with other believers, the community that we enjoy. We dwell together in unity, and that is proper. That is a powerful thing. In that context, the Lord commands the blessing, life forever. So, community. And then finally, in 134, this life we have together is a life of ministry. Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. So we're servants, and we serve. Worship, serve, it's kind of the same word in the Bible. Our worship is serving, and our serving is worship, and it's all to the Lord. So that's our privilege to be able to do that and to be blessed by Him and be a blessing to others. So that's kind of where we're going with this. I trust that you'll be here and that these songs, one by one, will be an encouragement to you as pilgrims making progress by degrees, ascending in your faith, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and realizing that we're all doing that together. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time tonight and for this passage of Scripture, these chapters. Pray you'll make them a blessing to us. Open our eyes and hearts to understand and to apply these things to our faith, to our common life. And pray that we would be pilgrims ever marching upward to Zion, and that we would be singing pilgrims, ever singing, both as a way to just encourage our own hearts, but as a way to encourage one another as well. Thank you for the songs, the greatest hits, not only that we have as a church in our hymnal, but these in the Psalter. I pray they'll be a blessing to us. Please watch over us now, dismiss us as we part tonight, and just give us great week, and be a comfort and to your people. Bless our time of fellowship around the table too as well, in Jesus' name.